What's going on, y'all? It's Jamon Bolton here with another episode of the Jamon Bolton Show. Got lots to talk about today, man. It was a crazy weekend. Crazy weekend in sports. You know, as I release this episode, it'll be Tuesday morning, June the 4th. But this past weekend in sports is crazy. I'm going to jump right into Saturday. I mean, anybody who knows what it was, or if you was watching sports or paying attention to anything, you know what was going on. I'm going to talk about Anthony Joshua. Jeez, nobody saw that coming at all. I mean, the 25-1 underdog, many expected it to be a joke, right? I mean, you did see the press conference. You know, you saw the height differentiation. You're just like, kind of like, okay, this is going to be one of those classic tune-up fights. He's going to get who he's going to get. And he's going to, you know, he's going to do what he has to do. And, you know, we figured it'd be quick. I mean, that's what I thought. I thought it'd be like 5-6 rounds. I think I heard somebody say 5-6 rounds, but that's neither here nor there. Listen, 25-1 underdog, huge underdog, right? I mean, it's not, this fight wasn't, you know, Buster Douglas Tyson-ish, but it was like, whoa, it made you think like, damn, that's crazy. That's bugged out. You know, it really made the heavyweight division more interesting, if you want to be quite honest. I mean, because, you know, we thought it was a 3-man race, Fury, you know, we thought Joshua, then we thought Wilder. And of course, the back and forth banter in between all three of them and, you know, who's going to get what, you know, it's just a part of the sport, you know, but sometimes these guys, they get a little crazy and they want each other. They're going at each other and rightfully so. That's what the sport entails. It's a gladiator sport. So you can't expect the guys to be like, hey, I want to fight you. This is that. You know, it's not that kind of party, right? So, like I said, the heavyweight division is more interesting now. And they always say styles make fights. And let me preface all this before I go further. I'm not a boxing connoisseur. You know, I can't really break boxing down for you. Like, I can talk basketball, football, and baseball to some degree. You know, I know about boxing. I watch boxing. I've always watched all the big fights my whole life. But I don't know everything about boxing like some people are. You know, I'm no Burt Sugar. But I will say this, man. Sometimes I don't watch it enough. I mean, Ruiz isn't a name that I knew. He's not a name that I knew. I know the guys who watch boxing, they know who he was. Like, oh, yeah, he's legit. You hear Max talk about him. You hear Teddy Atlas talk about him. And I saw the highlights, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. ESPN announced it. It popped up on Bleacher Report. I was like, what? Like, you know, you're not thinking. You're thinking Josh was going to win. You know, everybody was upset because last weekend Wilder, you know, he started announcing that, hey, he's going to fight Ortiz again, which was kind of questionable to me. Like, why'd you fight him again? Because Ortiz is a dangerous guy. I don't care what, you know, I don't care what Wilder does and how hard he punches. Ortiz can take a punch. It took everything out of Wilder to beat Ortiz. And of course, you know, the rematch with Tyson Fury, and it was good because, you know, that fight was good. I thought it was a really good fight. And I thought, you know, they would get it in. But, you know, everybody would see him fight Joshua. So they say styles make fights. Like I said, Ruiz was able to get in there and fight his ass off and beat Joshua. You know, it's different when you hit somebody in the chin and they can't really take a punch. But like Teddy Atlas was saying on ESPN, like that behind the ear punch, which Ruiz delivered a few of those to Joshua, that throws your equilibrium off. So you're punch drunk the rest of the fight. You're like drunk. You're like, you're off. Like, damn, like you don't really know what's what. And if you looked at the fight, you looked at the highlights in the round when the ref was calling him out, he just looked disheveled. He just looked like he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to be there. He looked disinterested. He was out of it. He was just like, I can't. Like, he physically gave up. Like, I don't care what he says. The referee called him over and, you know, he was like, I was ready to fight. But he looked like, you know, he would have got hurt if he went back out there. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, he's got the heart, you know, he's got the heart of a champion. I mean, four times you get knocked down, four times you get back up. He looked gassed. I think once he realized, you know, because going back, he's supposed to fight big, you know, baby, you know, Jarrell Miller. And you look at, You look at the body types that those guys have. I mean, you know, Miller is a big, you know, like a big brute, but Ruiz is a better boxer. And you know, nobody, I didn't see this coming. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't see this coming, and it was just crazy. I'm still in shock, really, right? So, it's one of those things where we were expecting him to fight one guy, he's going to get in the ring with another guy. Things happen. You know, and you get to there and you say, okay, what's a good tune-up fight? And whoa, he got tuned up. You know, it's crazy, man. I really didn't see this coming. But, you know, Josh wasn't known for having the strongest jaw in the world, you know, but he has heart. I believe in my heart he didn't take the series. Once he realized he wasn't fighting Miller, he kind of made taking his foot off the gas a little bit as far as training. No, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And I kept seeing a lot of people say that's karma. That's what you get. And a lot of people say it's karma, you know, because you don't have the super fight that you want. But we'll get on that in a minute, right? But Conor McGregor tweeted something very interesting. And he was basically saying, like, Mexican fighters are known for having chins. You know what I'm saying? Mexican fighters can really fight. And Conor McGregor said, I know firsthand what it's like. Because, you know, these Mexican guys, they don't go down easy. They don't. That's just kind of what they are. Historically, you know, Mexican fighters aren't going to give it. Look, I found a tweet, right? It said, I know firsthand the toughness of the Mexican chin. They come up off the floor like something out of Thriller. It is never over until it's over with the Mexicans. God bless them. Congrats, Andy Ruiz. And that wasn't a shout or anything racist. It's the truth. I mean, you know, all Mexican fighters have always been historically tough. I mean, tough. You'd have to pound a Mexican fighter out in order to get the victory. I mean, this is no different. They just come with a sense of pride. It's just different, right? So, you know, it was Ruiz did his thing, man. I mean, he went out there, fought his ass off, and he got the victory. Now he's the heavyweight champion, the first Mexican heavyweight champion in history. It's pretty damn awesome. I mean, history is being made every day, and the division opens up. So now, I said something earlier. It's just like, why? You know, what happens to Joshua now? Does Joshua kind of, you know? It's one of those things. Does he fall under the radar? Now, not fall under the radar because he'll still be a major player. I think he still has a huge fan base back home. But boxers are different when they lose sometimes, especially for the first time, right? Well, remember, classic case for me is always Roy Jones and Antonio Tarver. I always was of the mindset that Roy Jones should have stayed at heavyweight. For me as a sports fan, it was easier for me to tolerate Roy Jones, God forbid, if he got beaten up by Lennox Lewis, than it is for Antonio Tarver, because Antonio Tarver got a lucky punch in. And he closed his eyes. It wasn't a flush punch. I'm beating you. And psychologically, it threw Roy off. I mean, the fights that he was losing, it was just like, it hurt. You know, it almost hurt. I remember watching Roy fight Antonio Tarver that third time. And I was freaking out when Antonio Tarver had him on the ropes at one point. It hurt. Watching that, it hurt me. Like, damn, this is serious. Like, Roy Jones is not the same anymore. So, you know, could it be the same with Joshua? Is he going to be the same? Is he going to come back the same? It sucks, you know, like that it had to happen. But, you know, but for me, I always say this is why boxing is terrible in regards to lining up the fights. And, you know, the fights that should happen on time. Because by the time you get these super fights, like, you know, they're going to fight probably. But Joshua's supposed to be that dude that knocked him out. I mean, and Wilder's supposed to be the dude that knocked Joshua out, right? He's supposed to put him on his face or make him quit or whatever it was. And now it's like, yeah, no disrespect to Ruiz, but it's kind of like the psychological aspect of it is you want to see, you know, Joshua and Wilder or, you know, whatever, Joshua and Tyson Fury. You know, because we know, you know, Joshua has a lot of heart. I mean, Deontay Wilder has a sledgehammer in his hands. And then, he's not the best boxer in the world. Tyson Fury is a great boxer. You know, that fight against Wilder, he was amazing. Like, I mean, the guy could box his tail off. And I mean, he doesn't look, you know, most guys, you think boxers, tight bodies and things like that. He doesn't look the part either, you know. Looks a little better than Ruiz, but doesn't look the part. And, you know, you looking at them, you're just like, damn, he boxes. You know, Tyson Fury can really box, a big, big, solid boxer. And it was just one of those things where you're looking at it and you're like, okay, he's amazing. But I see, you know, the fight didn't happen. It's not going to happen. You know, it's a bunch of back and forth. You don't want me, you know, blah, blah, blah. They're going to say this. They're going to say that. Boxing needs to take a page out of UFC's handbook. Make the fights happen when they're supposed to happen. Because by the time they happen, we lost interest, right? I mean, just going back recently, look at Manny Pacquiao Floyd Mayweather fight. I mean, it was terrible. It was a lackluster ass fight for all that money. I mean, I didn't pay for it. I got to go see it somewhere, but it was still terrible. You know, you got to contribute to go to a fight party. It was a terrible fight. His arm was injured. And Floyd's not coming back to fight. He's going to be one of the biggest what-ifs in boxing history. Like, they should have fought when Manny was on that hot streak and Floyd was, you know, Floyd was Floyd. It should have happened when it was supposed to happen. Look at Hagler Hearns, you know? Look at those fights. Could you imagine Tommy Hearns fighting Marvin Hagler when they passed their prime? It didn't make sense. You have to get the two at the peak of their powers. And you saw what happened, right? Hagler was the more superior boxer. Everybody fought in that division back in the 80s. Nobody ducked anybody. Now, I don't know if just because the way the game was at the time, like the best wanted to face the best, but it's terrible how it is now. I mean, even to a lesser degree, look at Tyson Holyfield. And I think, I don't know if the Buster Douglas fight was kind of like I'm throwing a monkey wrench in the game. I know Holyfield wasn't a more contender at that time, if I'm not mistaken. I remember he was in Japan for the fight. It's customary, right? You come in the ring, we're going to make this fight, blah, blah, blah. Tyson gets knocked out. Holyfield goes and obliterates Buster Douglas. You know, Buster Douglas was fighting with a heavy heart. His mom died, and Mike Tyson underestimated him. The biggest upset in boxing history, and the rest is history. Mike Tyson's, you know, never been the same. Downward spiral. Holyfield, one of the greatest heavyweights we've ever seen. But imagine that fight in the peak of their powers. Imagine Tyson says, man, I'm not fighting Buster Douglas, whatever. He fights Holyfield and goes to Vegas. Tyson and an undefeated Mike Tyson, an undefeated Evander Holyfield, man, paying good money for that fight. I'm still talking about that fight to this day. You know, it's just one of those things, man. It's just weird, right? It is what it is, right? But neither here nor there. Shout out to Andy Ruiz. Anthony Joshua's got to come back to the drawing board. You know, Deontay Wilder called him out on Twitter. Tyson Fury took the more humble political approach. It's like, you know, get up, you know, just get back to the drawing board. We'll see what happens now, right? Because it's all open now and everybody... Now I think it's the perfect time to try to unify these belts, right? You know, Ruiz has got three, but he's not going to duck anybody. He's going to take the biggest and best fights, I think. The kid got hard. So he's going to do everything he has to do, which is awesome, right? So I want to slide over from boxing, to baseball. I mean, to basketball, which is Sunday night. And, man, what a series has been so far. I mean, the split is 1-1. The Warriors came in. Should have got two, I think. But the first game, you know, everybody was kind of like hungover, 9 days off. Just kind of hung up. You know, inactivity can kind of be your enemy in any series sometimes. You have all that time off. You got, 9, 10 days off? It's a lot. But the Warriors showed a few things last night. They've got that championship DNA, man. That means a hell of a lot. The Warriors showed up in the second half against the Raptors. And, you know, you come out of 18-zip run. I mean, that's not really happening too much in the finals. They've got something that most people don't got. And they've talked about it today. What do they do at halftime? It's like they come and they have to peak of their powers after half. These guys are just, you know, these guys are just amazing in what they do. It was a sloppy game. It looked a little nasty last night, obviously. Just a lot of stuff. You know, Kevon Looney, he's got a fracture in his collarbone, which is crazy. And Klay Thompson, he's got something with the hamstring going on. So, it's a hamstring strain. So he's questionable for game three, according to reports. But, Klay Thompson, he's probably going to play. He's got the heart of a lion. The dude is amazing, and he goes out there and one of their most clutch players. I mean, you look at Iguodala, you look at Quinn Cook. They've got the perfect mentality, the next man up. They play on both sides of the ball, unlike most coaches we know who preach that first to 150 will win. It doesn't work like that. You know, Toronto, Pascal Siakam, I'm butchering his name, but, you know, he had a great game. And he had a great game in game one, but you can't sit there and expect him to really come out every night and give you 32. That's just definitely not going to happen. You know, Marc Gasol, there are times when he's going to give you something, but it's just probably not really going to be what it's supposed to be. You know what I mean? So some guys, some teams and some players are just on the Raptors team. You know, you're just not really going to get those kind of games out of them every game. And, you know, Fred Van Fleet. I'm tearing these names up today. Damn. And his name is Pascal Siakam. I'm sorry. God damn. Something's wrong with me today. Sorry, y'all. But, you know, you got Fred Van Fleet. He's actually hitting these lucky shots. But, I mean, again, just been playing well. People been playing well at the right time. But Kawhi needs help. He can't score 30-some-odd points on 40% shooting. Just not going to happen. Not going to work. But the Warriors are, you know, they're banged up, but they're focusing hard. And if they get Kevin Durant back, like Stephen A. said, it's a wrap. You know, right now they're just playing hard. And you got to credit this DNA. You got to credit this run that they've had. And a lot of people sitting there saying, oh, Steve Kerr's got it. He's got it easy. Knock it off. Doesn't have it easy. I mean, he actually can coach. I don't think many people can adjust to certain situations. You know, Steve Kerr, you know, he's good having the best team in the world. And you're having all that talent on your team. So it looks very easy. But when the situations are tight like that, you have to make the proper adjustments. And that shows where coach is a coach. So they've been doing a great job. You know, the Warriors are killers, even when they're down. You know, and if the game is close, they always got a chance. I literally went in the kitchen last night, that Sunday night, came back. They were down by a few points, came back, they were up two. It's like, what? But that's just kind of how they get down. And, you know, not to take nothing away from him, you know, I don't want to go forward without mentioning him, but DeMarcus Cousins, man, he played a damn good role. He played a huge role. And for me, I got to give him credit because it was like, damn, his quad is torn up. He's done. He's not coming back. You know, this dude could be sitting there talking about, I'm getting paid next year, but dude really wants to win. You know, it's not like he came to Golden State to just, oh, I was here. He's trying to go out there and get that ring. And then, look, you're complete. You win a ring. You win a championship. It's like, yo, you made it. Like, you've done it in the NBA. Most guys don't really care. Most guys want all that money. I get it. If I had 150 men in the bank, I don't think not winning a championship is going to hurt me. I don't think Barkley's losing any sleep over that these days. But, you know, most guys want that ring. You want the chance to say you're a champion, you know, and things like that. But, you know, DeMarcus Cousins is huge, man. Like I said, the first game he played eight minutes. It was, terrible that first game, getting his win back, 3 points. And in this game, the numbers don't really do justice. You know, 11 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists in 28 minutes. He more than doubled his output from last game. as far as the minutes go, and he just was a big body, you know, big body on everybody. You know, you got Gasol, he can't really get out there. And he's clogging the middle up, and he making all, they missing all these shots, and you got him and Boogie there. They look good, man. They look really good. He's going to get a little bit better. You know, Draymond is balling, one assist away. He missed a triple-double by an assist, which would have been his fourth straight. I mean, they look good. I'm still sticking with my prediction of Golden State in six. You know, it's been one of those grueling. You know, this series has been the most grueling of all. You know, people don't really seem to understand. They thought they were going to run through everything. I mean, five straight years of going to the finals and playing deep, it takes a toll on your body after a while, you know, which is, it leads you back to like LeBron, him going to eight straight and playing as long as he did. That takes a lot out of you. You know what I mean? Like, it's amazing what he was able to do. And people, you know, people always give him grief about it. Look, I get it. At the end of the day, having a 3-5 record in the final, you know, what, 3-6 record in the finals isn't really gonna, it's gonna get looked at like, oh, he lost six of them. But bro, he went to the finals and he's got three rings. Some of your favorite players don't even have a ring. That's the thing when people criticize these quote unquote fans. They think they like, bro, like some people that get there, Jerry West been a 9, got one. You know, I'm sure Jerry West wouldn't mind having two more. I mean, they just lost a few that they should have won. It's just the way the cookie crumbled. They came up in the wrong era. It's like, you know, they came up in the Celtic era. It's like coming up in the Jordan era. If you're Stockton and Malone, Patrick Ewing and Oakley, those guys, Charles Barkley. Like, you come up in the wrong era. You can't do nothing about that. Like, certain teams are just always, you know, just that good. You know, like, the NBA is always built upon these kinds of teams. And historically, I tell people all the time, if you know anything about sports, parity's never really been a thing in the NBA. It's always been dominated by the same teams. The 60s was the Celtics. The 70s was the only era in which there were a bunch of different champions. There was eight champions in the 70s. Then you get to the 80s. I went over this before, right? The Lakers got five. Boston's got three. Philly's got one. Detroit got one. Get to the 90s, what? Chicago's got six, right? You go there, Houston's got two. You know, that's eight championships already. Detroit got one. They got the one in 1990, the beginning of the decade. Then San Antonio got the last one on the way out in 99. So just kind of what the game allows. It's just kind of how it is. People complaining about the Warriors having a super team. Super teams have always been a part of the NBA. Pretty damn awesome. And they're doing their thing. But I'm still sticking with them. You know, Golden State in six. It's, you know, it's going to get a little bit better in Oracle. Once Kevin Durant comes back, if he comes back, it's going to be crazy. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting these next couple of days, man. And I came across something interesting today. Today meaning Monday. Yesterday, I should say. But Colin Cowherd had something on his radio show that he said I just figured I'd share. He had a prediction. I don't really make predictions about anything. I just go with the flow, talk about what I think. Kawhi Leonard seems, you know, yeah, but let me go back. Colin Cowherd had predictions as far as where the, you know, his top six free agents will be going and what's going to happen. Made reference to Chris Paul, but, you know, Chris Paul's still on the contract, but there's the rumor floating around that he's even open. You know, the team is willing to trade him if they have to. So Colin Cowherd said Kawhi Leonard would be in the Clippers. Win or lose, he's leaving Toronto. Anthony Davis, we've heard that he had a meeting the other day with David Griffin and Stan Stanton change. He wants to get out. Gail Benson, the Pelicans owner, said, look, I'm not trading him in the West, but I'm not trading him to the Lakers. So apparently he likes New York. He wouldn't mind being there. It's a major market. It's a fresh start. But apparently he's going to be traded to the Knicks for the number three pick, according to Colin Cowherd. This is his predictions, right? And, of course, that'll reunite Zion and RJ. Pretty dope. You know, and the Knicks would get a big player. Then, of course, Kevin Durant allegedly is coming to New York. That's the talk, right? But I'll get on him. It's something about him I want to talk about again. And, you know, got to bring something else up because I read another story or saw another article about something today. Apparently, Kyrie Irving is almost not a lock, but Kyrie Irving's looking at the Brooklyn Nets, which would be very interesting. And the Lakers apparently are supposed to get Jimmy Butler and Boogie Cousins, which would make things a little bit interesting in the West, right? If everything could come together, and imagine Boogie healthy, things like that. So, gonna be a little interesting to see how that all pans out. You know, I don't really know, you know, how things will be, what's gonna happen, but that sounded pretty, you know, pretty possible. I could see it happening. I mean, Jimmy Butler's always in LA. You see him, he's with Mark Wahlberg all the time. Very possible. Who really knows? But I mean, being a lifelong New Yorker, I'd definitely love to see what the Knicks would be able to do as far as getting, you know, Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis. I mean, I think that'd make it an instant attraction for many free agents, no matter what's going on as far as the front office goes. I think a lot of guys will be intrigued on playing with those guys. Kevin Durant, I saw something today, right? And it was something they said was like Nike accidentally revealed that like he's going to be staying with the Warriors. So apparently it was a shirt that was released. and it had like a Kevin Durant. It was like a schedule, right? And it had a few different places where Kevin Durant played, right? It had where he played in high school, had where he played in you know, had played in Virginia at Oak Hill. They had where he played in when he went back to Maryland for high school. They had when he was at Montrose Christian, and they had when he was down in Texas, Oklahoma City. Then it said Oakland. Then it also said San Francisco, which is where the Warriors are going to be. The Warriors are going to be moving next season. So, you know, it makes you go, makes you scratch your head, right? So I don't know if Nike did this on purpose or what the hell happened, but it's going to be one of those things that makes you scratch your head. Again, like I said, it makes you go, okay, cool. This is something that's interesting, something to look forward to. So I don't know if that even, you know, if that's even going to be a play, be in play or whatever. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, everything is pointing towards KD leaving. I don't even know if this should even, I personally think I would stay in Golden State, get all the money I can get. And then I would, you know, just try to win as many championships as possible. I mean, if that's what you're after, you know, every player has different things that they're after. Every player has things that they're chasing. I think playing basketball and win as much as you can, I mean, you got to do what you got to do, right? So we'll see. We don't really know how it goes. It's always something that's coming up. And to quote the shirt said, "Stay true, easy buckets." And then it was a list of places, like I said, right? And San Francisco was last, and that's where they're moving next season. So I'm looking at all the options now. I left out Seattle, my bad, because he played Seattle's rookie year. But it's going to be interesting. I don't know. Nike has a sale for shirt on their site. I don't know what's going on. Maybe that's something, a little hint, but you never really know with these things, right? So just sharing what Colin Cowherd said, I personally think this is possible. I don't see Kyrie going to the Nets. I could see Kyrie going to the Knicks. I mean, even though the Nets have been a little bit better, have been better recently, the Knicks are still the Knicks. And I think that lore of Madison Square Garden being your home is just really, really awesome. So we'll see how that works. So, you know, after these finals, the finals will be over soon. We've got to sit back and relax and get ready to see what's happening, you know, because NBA free agency is going to be crazy. You know, on top of baseball jumping off and doing what it does, it's going to be crazy. Free agency is going to be a zoo. So I already know what to expect. Everybody, you know, they get a day up on things. So I expect that first day to just kind of, you know, be crazy. But, you know, stay locked in, man. I'm definitely going to be updating everything. You know, follow me if you aren't following me on Instagram, at Jay Bolton Show. I'm going to get whatever I can get. If I can get an exclusive interview with anybody, I'm definitely trying, man. So I didn't forget, man. I'm definitely going to be out here trying to snag some of these interviews and do some of these, you know, do some different things. So stay tuned and stay locked and loaded, man. But let me slide over to the NFL really quick. It wasn't a lot going on, but Jerry McCoy, he signed with the Panthers. That was a huge pickup for the Panthers, but he thought he would sign with Baltimore after he visited and went to Carolina just like as a courtesy to see what was going on. And, you know, he's a huge fan of Cam Newton if you followed him. And he loved this he loved what happened. He loved what Mike, you know, what Ron Rivera showed him and presented to him. And of course, everybody's on board. So he signed a 1-year, $10 million deal with the team. It's great. He gets to stay in the NFC South and he gets to face his team twice a year. You know, he felt a little slighted the other day. The Bucks signed Dominick Sue and gave him Dominick Sue his number. So, you know, after being on a team 10 years, you think they would kind of hold off, but felt a little slighted, which is understandable. Roger Goodell, he also, you know, Monday he spoke out about the preseason being, you know, cut to 2 games maybe. And I get it, you know, he's, you know, they began preliminary talks with the collective bargaining or whatever the case may be. The new CBA is coming up, I think, in 2020 maybe. I think it's time to talk about that. So next year or the year after, 2020 and 2021. So, you know, those talks are coming up and I'm guessing players have been wanting that. And I'm guessing the commissions and, you know, he's actively sitting there speaking out about it, like, yeah, we don't need but so many games. And it makes sense. I mean, what the hell, why are you playing 4 preseason games? Nobody wants to see 4 preseason games of football. Give us 2 games, you go through OTAs, give us a quick glimpse of the players that did the draft, and let us go on and get the regular season started. However, they are talking about an 18 game season. Players are against that and nixing that. I'm all for that, man. These guys play the worst sport in the world, don't have guaranteed deals. Man, don't make those guys play more than they need to play. Football has got to be the most dangerous sport ever. You know, that's you know, an obvious statement, but gosh, I couldn't imagine. I don't ever want to get hit by a football player. I don't even want to think about it. It is what it is, right? So we'll see how that works out. And also, before I get out of here, I want to shout out Minnesota Vikings, you know, COO Kevin Warren. He's actually resigning from the team, and I'm announcing this because he's expected to be introduced today, actually Tuesday, June 4th, as the next commissioner of the Big Ten Conference, you know, according to ESPN. So Warren told the Vikings that he's planning to take the job, but he's also, I'm mentioning this because he's going to become the first black commissioner of a Power 5 conference. You know, he's going to be replacing longtime Big Ten commissioner Jim Delaney, In March, he announced that he plans to retire in 2020 after 30 years with the league. So this is a huge deal. You know, I can't speak enough about, you know, to see, you know, for kids to see people of color doing things in an executive role. You know, you may not always be an athlete. You may not grow up to be LeBron. You may not grow up to be Mike, anybody, Kyrie, whomever, Randy Moss, Deion Sanders, but you can grow up to be somebody. You can grow up to be, you know, Kevin Warren. So it's a huge story, a great story. Just something that's very great, you know, for kids to aim for. Just something that, for me, I take pride in reporting stuff like this because it's really awesome. You know, he gets a chance to get out there and you see a face like his, and hopefully he can take the league in a new direction. I mean, not that the Big Ten is suffering or anything like that, but again, you know, college football has all these expansion things going on, teams coming into conference, leaving the conference, and so forth. College football is king, we know that, but hopefully he can really lead it the right way he needs to lead it. So that's all I have for you guys right now. You know, before I get out of here, I want to mention baseball. Their power rankings are out, so I'll give you the top 10. I'm sure you guys noticed that the Yankees have been balling. They got rid of the Red Sox over the weekend and swept them. So that's a good sign. And the Yankees, again, they don't really have their star players ready and ready to rock and roll in action. And that says a lot. You know, these guys started off terrible. Everybody's like, oh, boy, here we go. They look good, though. You know, Stan is still really out of it. You got, you got Stan. You got Aaron Judge. They're still out. So it's just crazy. So according to MLB right now, the MLB Instagram page, you know, number one, you got the Astros, you got the Dodgers at number two, the Twins at number three, Yankees at number four, Tampa Bay Rays at number five. Then you got the Cubs at six, Philadelphia Phillies at seven, Milwaukee Brewers at eight, Atlanta Braves at nine, Red Sox at 10. So things are a little, you know, you know, some of those choices, I think I'd kind of switch around a little bit. But, you know, it's baseball. Baseball's still going to be going and still going to be doing their thing as far as switching up and doing this and doing that. And, you know, teams will be making a lot of deals. They just had a draft tonight. So a lot of new talent coming in. I can't sit there and tell you who was who and who did what. But I know it was the catcher from Oregon State went number one. That was such a huge deal. I know he's the guy that everybody's been talking about. He's like the next one. So, Adley Rutschman? I don't even know. I'm butchering names today. Good Lord. Pretty good catcher. Hit 4A for Oregon State this year. So, you know, pretty good switch hitter. Got the potential to be an all-star. So, that's all I know about him. A lot of good kids have been coming out. So, but yeah, that's it for now, man. That's really all I have. Nothing really major to talk about. You know, Serena lost this past weekend. Quick upset. She hasn't been eliminated so early, so she was denied her 24th major. Of course, you know, it happens. She's one of the greatest ever and probably is the greatest ever, so it is what it is. But again, man, like I always say after every show, thank you guys for joining me. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for the continued support. I always say I'm going to switch something up and do things differently, but I'm waiting for a scheduling. And I got a guest lined up, former boxer, former champion. I'm not going to say who just yet. But I'm getting lined up, getting it taken care of, and I'm ready to bring that to you guys so you guys can start seeing me and hearing me more, interact with other people and interview people. I think it'd be good. He has a great story. I think he's somebody that people who watch boxing in the 80s will remember. And, you know, he was a known name. So he beat one of the better champions of the 80s, and he was really good, and he's a New York guy. I mean, that's what I'll say at that. But, you know, I'll keep you guys I keep you guys updated. You know, hopefully when I drop it, you'll be like, oh, okay, this is what it is. But, man, thanks again for everything. Thank you for the support, the continued support. Also want to shout out, man, before I get out of here, my son, Sky. I just graduated from Cardinal Hayes High School this past weekend. One of the most amazing days of my life. It's pretty awesome to see a child graduate from high school. You know, so it's the first step. And, you know, I know he'll be here 4 years ago. We'll be here 4 years later for college, but definitely want to shout him out, man. So proud of him, obviously. I've been gloating all day on social media about him, my Facebook page specifically. But again, thank you guys for tuning in. I appreciate all your support. Please, you know, at Jay Bolton Show on Twitter, at Jay Bolton Show on Instagram, tell a friend to tell a friend. You know, anything I can do different, please feel free to make recommendations. I'm here for it. I want it all. I want all the good, bad, ugly commentary, everything. Just tell me everything you need, anything you want to hear, anybody you think, you know, I could collaborate with or should collaborate with, man, please holler at me, man. Again, thanks, man. Jamon Bolton, I'm out of here. Thanks for the support, and I'll be back with you guys real soon. Peace.